For a little longer, Wendy tried, for Peter's sake, not to have growing pains. And she felt she was untrue to him when she got a prize for general knowledge. But the years came and went without bringing the careless boy. When they met again, Wendy was a married woman, and Peter was no more to her than a little dust in the box in which she had kept her toys. Wendy was grown up. You need not be sorry for her. She was one of the kind that likes to grow up. In the end, she grew up of her own free will, a day quicker than other girls. All the boys were grown up and done for by this time, so it is scarcely worthwhile saying anything more about them. You may see the twins, Nibs and Curly, any day going to an office, each carrying a little bag and an umbrella. Slightly married a lady of title, and so he became a lord. You see that judge in a wig coming out at the iron door? That used to be Tootles. If you follow him round the corner, you might see him slipping a penny to the well-known pickpocket of Piccadilly Circus. A brotherly wink betrays a vague memory of long-lost adventures they may or may not have shared in a world now forgotten. Michael is now a doctor, and you can sometimes catch him trying to draw maps of children's minds. On the other side of town, the bearded man with a very fine hat, who doesn't know any story to tell his children, was once John. Wendy was married in white, with a pink sash. It is strange to think that Peter did not alight in the church and forbid the banns. Years rolled on again, and Wendy had a daughter. This ought not to be written in ink, but in a golden splash. She was called Jane, and always had an odd, inquiring look, as if from the moment she arrived on the mainland, she wanted to ask questions. When she was old enough to ask them, they were mostly about Peter Pan. She loved to hear of Peter. And Wendy told her all she could remember in the very nursery from which the famous flight had taken place. It was Jane's nursery now, for her father had bought it at the 3% from Wendy's father, who was no longer fond of stairs. Mrs. Darling was now dead and forgotten. There were only two beds in the nursery now, Jane's and her nurse's. There was no kennel, for Nana also had passed away. She died of old age, and at the end she had been rather difficult to get on with, being very firmly convinced that no one knew how to look after children except herself. Once a week, Jane's nurse had her evening off, and then it was Wendy's part to put Jane to bed. That was the time for stories. It was Jane's invention to raise the sheet over her mother's head and her own, thus making a little house. And in the awful darkness to whisper,
"What do we see now?"
"I don't think I see anything tonight."
Wendy had a feeling that if Nana were here, she would object to further conversation.
"Oh, yes, you do. You see, when you were a little girl..."
"That is a long time ago, sweetheart. Oh, me, how time flies."
"Oh, does it fly?"
Jane was an artful child with artful questions.
"The way you flew when you were a little girl."
"The way I flew? Do you know, Jane, I sometimes wonder whether I ever did really fly."
"Oh, yes, you did."
"The dear old days when I could fly."
why can't you fly now, Mother?
Oh, well, because I am grown up, dearest. When people grow up, they forget the way.
Why do they forget the way?
Well, because they are no longer merry and innocent and heartless. It is only the merry and innocent and heartless who can fly.
Oh, I do wish I were merry and innocent and heartless.
Oh, my dearest.
Some nights the Neverland felt too far away, and Wendy would brush Jane's hair and sing her to sleep with no story. But other nights, they would make their little blanket house, and Wendy would admit that she did see something, and the story would begin.
Why, what is this? I do believe that it is this nursery.
I do believe it is. Oh, go on, Mother. Tell me the story again.
Wendy smiled and rose from the bed. She crossed the nursery and stood before a beautiful music box, shaped like a bird in a cage. She placed a hand fondly on it, before reaching up to take a key from the chain around her neck. Like her mother before her, Wendy had a romantic mind. Tiny boxes, one within the other. And in one of the innermost boxes, Wendy carried a familiar tune. It was this tune that now sounded from the music box as she fitted and turned the key. Wendy closed her eyes and listened. It was the music that we have all heard. Music that carried her back through the stars. Second to the right and straight on till morning. For one brief moment, Wendy was drawn back to those magical shores where mermaids play with bubbles in the sunlight, where pirates prowl about the lagoon, and where brave warriors move like ghosts through the sacred cedrus trees. She listened more intently until she could hear the sound of the surf, smell the smoke of the chimney, and almost taste the ash apples. We have all been there, though, like us, Wendy knew she would land no more. By and by, we might wish to stay a little longer, to watch as the fairies dance and listen as the birds sing sweetly. But ah me, we must return home. Home to our prettier thoughts, spread out by our mothers and fathers, waiting for us to put on. Just like Jane's father had prepared for her the night before.
Mother?
Here, Wendy stirred from her reverie and crossed to the bed to join Jane once more.
Let us now take a peep into the past.
And they gave themselves the twist that makes peeping into the past easier. They are now embarked on the great adventure of the night when Peter flew in looking for his shadow.
The foolish fellow tried to stick it on with soap, and when he could not, he cried. And that woke me, and I sewed it on for him.
Oh, you have missed a bit!
Having requested and heard it so often, Jane now knows the story better than her mother.
When you saw him sitting on the floor crying, what did you say?
I sat up in bed and I said, "Boy, why are you crying?"
Oh, yes!
And then he flew us all away to the Neverland, and we saw the fairies and the pirates and the Neverlanders and the Mermaid's Lagoon. And there was Tiger Lily and the home under the ground and the little house.
Which did you like best of all?
I think I liked the home under the ground best of all.
Oh, yes, so do I. What was the last thing Peter ever said to you?
The last thing he ever said to me was, just always be waiting for me. And then some night, you will hear me crowing.
Oh, yes, that was it.
But, alas, he forgot all about me.
Wendy said it with a smile. She was as grown up as that.
What did his crow sound like?
It was like this.
No, it wasn't. It was like this. The cleverest of me.
Wendy was a little startled.
My darling, how can you know?
I often hear it when I am sleeping.
Oh, yes. Many girls hear it when they are sleeping. But I was the only one who heard it awake.
Lucky you.
Yes, I was very lucky. Now, my darling, that's quite enough storytelling for one night. It is time to rest.
And then one night came the tragedy. It was the spring of the year, and the story had been told for the night, and Jane was now asleep in her bed. Wendy was sitting on the floor, very close to the fire, so as to see to darn, for there was no other light in the nursery. While she sat darning, she heard a crow. Then the window blew open as of old, and Peter dropped in on the floor. He was exactly the same as ever, and Wendy saw at once that he still had all his first teeth. He was a little boy, and she was grown up. She huddled by the fire, not daring to move, helpless and guilty. A woman.
Hello, Wendy,
he said, not noticing any difference, for he was thinking chiefly of himself. And in the dim light, her white dress might have been the nightgown in which he had seen her first.
Hello, Peter,
she replied faintly, squeezing herself as small as possible. Something inside her was crying.
Woman, woman, let go of me.
Where is John?
Peter had noticed that the third bed was missing.
John is not here now.
Is Michael asleep?
He gave a careless glance at Jane.
Oh, yes.
She now felt guilty that she was untrue to Jane, as well as to Peter.
No, Peter, that is not Michael,
she said quickly, lest a judgment should fall on her. Peter looked.
Is it a new one?
Yes.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Now surely he would understand. But not a bit of it.
Peter, are you expecting me to fly away with you?
Of course. It is why I have come. You haven't forgotten about spring cleaning time.
She knew it was useless to say that he had let many spring cleaning times pass.
I can't come. I have forgotten how to fly.
I'll soon teach you again.
Oh, Peter, don't waste the fairy dust on me.
She had risen. And now, at last, a fear assailed him.
What is it?
I will turn up the light, and then you can see for yourself.
Don't turn up the light.
For almost the only time in his life that I know of, Peter was afraid. Wendy let her hands play in the hair of the tragic boy. She was not a little girl heartbroken about him. She was a grown woman, smiling at it all. But they were wet-eyed smiles. Then she turned up the light, and Peter saw.
I am old, Peter. I am ever so much more than 20. I grew up long ago.
He gave a cry of pain, and when the tall, beautiful creature stooped to lift him in her arms, He drew back sharply.
You promised not to.
I couldn't help it. I'm a married woman, Peter.
No, you're not.
Yes. And the little girl in the bed is my baby.
No, she's not.
But he supposed she was. And he took a step towards the sleeping child with his dagger upraised. Of course, he did not strike. He sat down on the floor instead and sobbed. And Wendy did not know how to comfort him, though she could have done it so easily once. She was only a woman now, and she ran out of the room to try to think. Peter continued to cry, and soon his sobs woke Jane. She sat up in bed and was interested at once.
Boy, why are you crying?
Peter rose and bowed to her, and she bowed to him from the bed.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Peter Pan.
Oh yes, I know.
I came back for my mother, to take her to the Neverland.
Oh yes, I know. I have been waiting for you.
When Wendy returned diffidently, she found Peter sitting on the bedpost crowing gloriously, while Jane, in her nightie, was flying round the room in solemn ecstasy.
She is my mother.
Jane descended and stood by his side, with a look in her face that he liked to see on ladies when they gazed at him.
Oh, he does so need a mother.
Yes, I know. No one knows it so well as I.
He rose in the air, and the shameless Jane rose with him. It was already her easiest way of moving about.
Goodbye, Wendy.
No, no.
Wendy rushed to the window.
Oh, it is just for spring cleaning time. He wants me always to do his spring cleaning.
Oh, if only I could go with you.
You see, you can't fly.
Of course, in the end, Wendy let them fly away together.
Second to the right.
Our last glimpse of her shows her at the window, watching them receding into the sky until they were as small as stars. As you look at Wendy, you may see her hair becoming white, and her figure little again. For all this happened long ago. Jane is now a common grown-up, with a daughter called Margaret. And every spring cleaning time, except when he forgets, Peter comes for Margaret and takes her to the Neverland, where she tells him stories about himself, to which he listens eagerly. When Margaret grows up, she will have a daughter, who is to be Peter's mother in turn. And thus it will go on, so long as children are merry and innocent and heartless. The end.